Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Good, Michael.
Let's talk about an article you chose from the Journal of Urology 2014. It's in issue 192. It starts on page 829. It talks about nocturia, and it's something that we haven't talked very much about in the poems. Nocturia is one of those symptoms that I don't think it's often life-threatening, but it has an enormous impact on somebody's life. It's defined as waking at night to void. It disrupts sleep, obviously. There are some funny stories as I was reading this and talking to people that came up when we talked to people about voiding or having nocturia. One obviously has to be very careful what we ask our patients. One of the docs, one of the senior residents, was telling me a story about how he asked a patient if he'd had any trouble with nocturia, and they went on and on, and then as the patient was leaving, he goes, you know, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you, doctor. I'm having this horrible problem where I get up every night several times to go to the bathroom. Oh, I see. I see. So we have to be careful with our language. Nocturia, just by way of background, it increases with age. Estimates are, interestingly, about the same with men and women. Most of us think that men are more commonly afflicted than women, but about 50% of people at the age of 60, both men and women, have what we would medically define as nocturia. Again, that's three or more episodes a night. I think perhaps even two episodes might affect your quality of life. New onset of nocturnal incontinence or bedwetting is not part of what we're talking about. That's rare and is a totally different phenomena. Again, nocturia, very distressing. Studies have shown that it's associated with lower quality of life ratings. It's associated with depression, with work absenteeism, lower physical and mental health ratings, and increased all-cause mortality. So it's something we want to take very seriously. There are lots of things that we can do to study it, lots of tests, and lots of things that have been touted to treat it. There's the alpha blockers with and without the 5-alpha reductase inhibitors that we've used in men. Again, not really a slam dunk home run, but has provided some relief. The question that this article that you've chosen asks is desmopressin safe and effective in treating adults who have nocturia, both men and women? What did they find, Mark?
Well, it is a scourge of the 21st century, nocturia, particularly for middle-aged men like us. And this was actually a study that I did with a couple of my public health students here at the University of Georgia. I had noticed a study describing this as a treatment, and it wasn't something I was familiar with, and I think it's something I felt that a lot of primary care docs weren't familiar with. So we did a systematic review. We searched PubMed. We looked at all the lists of references in the studies we found to see if there were any additional ones we could find. There was a previous systematic review that we looked at from several years ago that had about half the trials that we ended up finding, some of which were more recent. We did the usual kind of approach to meta-analysis. I teach this at the University of Georgia, so I better follow the steps I tell my students to follow. So we assessed the quality of the studies, and we found 10 studies with a total of 2,200 patients. And of those, 4 studies were felt to be at a high risk of bias. And the problem with those was they had an active run-in period. So they actually enrolled patients into the study. They gave them all the active study drug, and anyone that had an adverse event like hyponatremia or just didn't tolerate it or who didn't respond to the study drug were excluded, and then they only included people who were responders who tolerated the drug. So that's, we call that cheating, and so that is a pretty serious, you know, risk to bias. And sure enough, when we looked, those studies with an active run-in period did report an overall better clinical response. Now, the other studies did show a significant response that probably is clinically meaningful. Overall, those patients who got desmopressin had about one-half fewer voids per night. So they got up one time less to pee every 2 nights. benefit was greater if you had a somewhat higher dose of 100 micrograms or higher than a lower dose. And they also had more sleep time, 58 more minutes of sleep, so nearly an hour more of sleep in those patients treated with desmopressin. So those are important patient-oriented outcomes. Headaches and hyponatremia were the most common adverse effects. Severe hyponatremia was rare, although we do recommend in our discussion that if you are starting your patient on these medications, you probably ought to at least initially monitor them for hyponatremia, particularly if they get to a higher dose of 200 micrograms or more. The initial starting dose should be in the 50 to 100 microgram range, and perhaps lower for older patients.
Any sex differences, men or women?
No, did not see any differences based on sex.
The two patient-oriented outcomes, one is this half a void fewer, which can be significant, but perhaps the really significant thing is the 1 hour of additional sleep, which can be a lifesaver.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like something useful for primary care docs to know about. This is a treatment option. It was well tolerated in general. I mean, like I said, headaches and hyponatremia are the two main things, and there weren't any, I don't believe there were any fatalities in these studies. There might have been some fatalities, but they were unrelated to the study drug or unrelated to anything conceivably related to the study drug.
It sounds like, given the prevalence of nocturia, that this is something that really rises to the level of giving it a try. The side effects are minimal. The benefits are, again, they're not enormous, but they're significant and meaningful. Is there any reason that we shouldn't try this with our patients?
Well, I think it seems like a reasonable option to try. I would still try non-pharmacologic things first. But if someone's really bothered by nocturia, and these patients had moderately severe nocturia, then I think it's certainly worth trying. Again, the caveat that start with a 50 to 100 microgram dose, lower doses for elderly patients, and monitor for hyponatremia. That's the most severe and worrisome potential side effect.
Great. And just for listeners, a reminder that those non-pharmacologic things that Mark's referring to are things like decreasing fluid intake, limiting fluid intake 4 to 5 hours before bedtime, pelvic floor exercises. Perhaps it's not really going to eliminate the nocturia, but at least putting a commode or a urinal by the bedside or something like that. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. See you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.